name, Lord Jesus, I speak. We're going to look at chapter 3 now. Yes, I know. Thank you. Okay, now, chapter 3 obviously talks about the temptation and fall of men. Okay? Now, you find that God has given them a very simple command. Okay. Now, I want you to read chapter 2. Chapter 2, we read verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. Yeah, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, you find that, you know, in the Garden of Eden, yeah, what is most crucial, important to Adam and Eve is to observe or is to obey the singular command that God has given to them. Right? Now, obviously, again, as we said, yeah, we shouldn't stretch our imagination too much. We must not speculate beyond what the Bible teaches. This is the principle in studying the Word of God. Okay? Now, sometimes the danger is, again, I want to say, you know, sometimes even reading the Bible can pose a temptation to us if our mind is not right about studying the Word of God. Right? Now, so, the Lord God has said to them that this is the only command. Right? Now, why is the command given? Right? When you look at the entire scriptures, you know, for men to function normally and closely with God, man has to obey God. That is the only way forward. Yep. Now, so, very sadly, from chapter 3 onwards, you can see the fall of man. Now, I think when the commandments of God is not kept, everything falls apart. Now, if you look at the relationship between man and God, and that relationship is severed, is cut off, yeah, because of man's disobedience. Right? Now, if you look at the relationship between Adam and Eve, again, you find that that relationship ran into problem. Yeah. Now, so when you look at the middle part of chapter 3, you find that, you know, rather I put it this way, the blame game began. You know. Now, and you know what Adam said in chapter 2. You know, when God, you know, brought Eve to him, his life, you know, had been completely forgotten. Because Adam said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now, look at what Adam said, yeah? I want you to read chapter 3. We read verse 12, yeah? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Now, so we find that the tone here is very different from the tone in chapter 2, verse 22. Okay? Now, so when sin has not entered into that marital relationship, you find that, you know, everything is peaceful, is nice, and is orderly, and is filled with love. So when man has broken the only commandments, then what happened? Sin entered into the relationship. And this marital relationship, we say, is soured. It's no longer nice anymore. Right? And the intimacy and the joy that they used to share together as husband and wife is like no way to be found anymore. Okay? So keeping the commandments of God is very important. You get what I'm saying? Right? But Now, we look at the temptation itself. Yeah, the temptation itself. Now, I want to. Shall I give them an assignment now? All right. Okay. Yeah. I'm asking him. We turn to 1 Corinthians. Yeah. It's a very simple assignment, but you need to give a lot of thought to it. Chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We look at verse 13, yeah? Right. Verse 13. Now, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Okay? Now, so my assignment is actually a questions. It's a questions. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about the way of escape in time of being tempted, yeah? Okay, class, are you getting me? Hello? Okay, so my question is, did God actually provide a way of escape for Eve when she was tempted? Is that okay? So that's your assignment, yeah? Do you want me to repeat the question? I'm not very good at wording question, you know? Okay. Okay.
How long does it answer?
How long? About 5,000 words? That's normal. Yeah, about 5,000 words. So you need to. I said 5,000. 5,000. One page, yeah? If your font size is about 11, so one page is about 500. So you need to give me 10 pages. Look at my face. Yes. Okay. I'll repeat the question. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, you don't have to type everything, just understand the question. Then I get Matthew to rephrase it. Okay, I'm too lazy to write it down. Okay, just understand the question. In Matthew chapter... Matthew. You see, I'm short circuits now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we are told that God is faithful. When we are tempted, He will provide us a way of escape. Yeah? Now, my question is, did God actually provide a way of escape for Eve and Adam, or Adam and Eve, when they were tempted? If yes, then what is that way of escape? Simple question, only 5,000 words. No problem. That's why I know no one likes me. It's okay, I'm very happy. Okay. Tomorrow, early in the morning, before prayer. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Class, actually, you don't have to ask me all this question. You just answer the question. That's it. Why you want to ask me how many pages, how many words? Why? It's a question of understanding. It's no point for you to write me 10 pages trying to impress me, but inside is all trash. What's the point? You understand what I'm saying? Just write. Be precise. That's it. Hallelujah. We come back. Chapter 3. That's the only assignment. The first assignment, rather. Okay, chapter 3. Now here it talks about the serpent came to what? Came to Eve, right? And the Bible says the serpent was very cunning, more cunning than any beast of the field. Right? Now, here look at the questions the serpent posed. Has God in this said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? No, it's like a question of affirmation. It's like to assure, is that true? Stuff like that. Actually, you find that this is like trying to strike up a conversation with Eve. Now, the danger is this, if we give ground to what? To temptation to come in, then most likely we will fall, because none of us is strong enough yet to resist any form of temptation. Okay? That's why we said we must stay clear of temptation, far away from temptation. So in the Lord's Prayer, we have been told what? Lead us not into temptation. Right? We do not even want to face temptation. We want to stay clear of temptation. You understand what I'm saying? No. So, to speak to Satan, or to allow Satan to speak to you about the Word of God, to question and to cast doubt in your mind concerning the command of God, is giving way to Satan to work. Now, you know that we must not stretch the boundaries. Stretch the limits of God's command. You can't do that. You can't afford to do that. Okay? So, the best thing is what? You keep yourself away from temptation. Right? Now, I want you to pay attention to the words spoken by Satan. Right? And you find that this guy is so cunning. Now, obviously, the woman actually knew about the command of the Lord. That's why she replied, the serpent in verse 2 and 3. Let's look at verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Huh? Now, she knew about the command. Right? Now, to know and to be able to hold on to the command is very different from just knowing it and breaking the command. You understand what I'm saying? Right? There are two things all together. Okay, now, so look at the serpent. You will not surely die. Huh? Now, God said you will surely die, and then the serpent said you will not surely die. Now, it's like, trying to, trying to dilute the severity of the command. Okay? Making it look very, very, not very important. You can choose to obey or you can choose not to obey. So you find that this is the trick of Satan. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, most importantly, I want you to look at verse 5 now. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Something that God has never spoken about before. Right? You find that in order to tempt the person away from God, Satan would do whatever he could to lure the person. And with a lot of words, flowery words, very appealing options, are presented before before Eve. You will be like God. Okay, you will be like God. Now, what did Paul say about this episode? Yeah. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Please turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think here Paul has explained a bit more. Okay, now look at verse 2 and verse 3. Yeah? For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now look at verse 3. But I fear lest someone as the serpent deceive Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He said purity. Yeah? Purity that is in Christ. My version uses the word simplicity, now you find that when we first came to believe in Jesus, we have been given something very clear, very precise, yeah, concerning God, right? You find that sometimes we sin because this simplicity or the purity of the mind in Christ Jesus has been corrupted. Okay? Now, why is it that our mind or simplicity in Christ can be corrupted? Because we think that other options, although are contrary to the very commands of God, seems to be more appealing. You understand what I'm saying? This one is better than what God has given to us. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, so the important thing is, when we face with temptation, we need to cancel out all the other options. We stick to the what? The command of the Lord. We do not even want to think about other options presented by Satan or by our circumstances in life. We hold on to what the Bible says, what the Lord Jesus has instructed us to do. And in this way, you find that these things will not be corrupted. Right? Now, so you find that this temptation is not just about appealing to the senses, is about trying to change the idea that you have in the mind. Right now, I want you to turn back to Genesis. Yeah? Look at chapter 2 again, verse 17. And God said to Eve, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Because the Bible says you shall not eat. Very simple. The command is very straightforward. You shall not eat. Right? And the command is absolute. Now, you find that any violation against this command shall be what? Retributed with the full force of the law of God, that is death penalty. You shall surely die. That's it? Yeah? That's why you need to hold on to this. You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now, you know, we must train ourselves with the power of the Spirit to believe that the Word of God is absolute, is not given to change. That is very important. Right? Now, if we show any sign of weakness in succumbing to temptation, surely we shall be overcome by temptation. Is that clear? Now, if you look at, again, we just mentioned, if you look at what Satan said, it's unbelievable. But these are the things that God has never spoken at all. Okay? So, the Word of God is absolute. You find that once the mind is corrupted, then it becomes very, very difficult to overcome sin. Very difficult. Now, I'd like to turn back to first, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, yeah? Now, why did Paul mention this example here? He is using this example to help the church, the members at Corinth, to understand that they must not give ground to the false prophet to work in them. Alright? Now, I want you to read verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which we have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He's talking about false teachers entering into the community of faith. Right? He was using this example to warn the believers to know and to understand the danger of allowing a false prophet to come in now. If you know that this guy, let's say, you know, this person, yeah, he is a heretic person, right? You know it, and the church has warned you time and again. And if you still want to get close to him, or to read the stuff that he has written, or to listen to things that he has spoken, then you are giving way to the evil one to work in you. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like Eve allowed this snake to speak to her about, you know, breaking the command of the Lord. Right? Now, do not think that we are very strong. Do not think that we are very strong. Okay? Now, look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 10. We read verse 12. Now, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Okay? No one should assume that or should think that he or she is strong. Right? Now, this kind of mindset can cause a person to fall away from God. That's why we should what? You know, keep the commandment of God with a heart of reverence. Right? You fear God. Right? Is that clear? Now, if this simplicity is corrupted, then finish. You can't win the battle. You can't win the battle. Okay? Even though you may have been told by so many people that you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be reading this, you shouldn't be hanging out with this type of people, you find that you cannot resist the temptation. Why? Because the mind has been corrupted. The mind has been corrupted. Okay, any questions? understand that, you know, I think some preachers have told you about, during the lessons, have told you about deception. So I'm not going to repeat myself too much on that. We are living in a dangerous time. Very dangerous. Okay, now come back to Genesis. You know, I was sharing this with the year 3 and year 4 students. I was sharing this with Genesis, verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5, with the year 3 and year 4 students. Right? Now, you find that the trick of Satan God. That this has been the trick of Satan all along. Right? Now, if you read like Isaiah chapter 14, but you don't have the time to. Is it 14? And the other one is Ezekiel chapter 28. Yes, chapter 14, verse 12 onwards. Yeah? Now, you find that the key features here is about lifting up, or we say becoming puffed up. We know that God is the Most High God. The Bible says Most High. What does it mean, Most High? He is the Most High God. The Most High God. Meaning, nothing can be like true God. Yes, Ezekiel 28. Isaiah 14. Right? Now, the Bible also says He is the Most Upright. According to Isaiah, upright. Most High God, most upright God. Meaning, no one can be equal. Nothing can be compared to Him. You understand what I'm saying? Right? By saying to Eve that you will be like God, obviously is a very appealing option. You find that the idea here actually stirs up the senses of Eve, like to make her feel very happy, very pleased, you know, with the suggestions or with the option presented by Satan. Right? You get what I'm saying? Now, that's why you find that, yeah, in the church, who are those who have been deceived? There are a few categories of people. Right? The first you find that the proud. Because pride in itself is a form of deception. So the proud can be easily deceived. The second, those who always murmur, always say, what, complaining. You find that in the church, these are the people who who can be easily deceived by Satan, or by what? By the false prophets. Right? Because they are not right with God. They are not right with God. Right? Sometimes you find that members, you know, they complain against the church. Everything they see, they complain. It's like the church is so imperfect that, you know. Yeah. So imperfect that, like, the church is condemned. Right? They cannot see the grace of God in the church. It's so sad. So if we keep complaining, then we can be deceived. Right? We need to give thanks to God. Learn to give thanks to God. Now, we turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Now, after they have sinned, what happened? Then they realized that they were naked. Okay, they were naked. Right? Therefore, they sew fig leaf together and make themselves coverings. Huh? We can see this in verse 7. And then verse 8, they were trying to hide away from the face of God. Right? Now also, they was afraid of God. Yeah? Now, two things mentioned when a person sinned. First, shamefulness. Second is, being frightened of God. Being afraid of God. God is like a father to them. Now they're afraid of, you know, afraid of the Father, the Heavenly Father. Okay. this is a natural consequence of those who have sinned against God. Feel ashamed of oneself and are very afraid to come before the Lord. Okay? Now, we turn to chapter 3. Turn to chapter 3. Now, the blame game here began. We can see from verse 12 here. The woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Now you can imagine, if you were Eve, what would you do? The guy blamed me. So you find that in any marriage, if you know the party concerned fail to abide by the law of God, the marriage will surely suffer. Surely suffer. So that's why if you want to have a good marriage in the future, a long-lasting marriage, a marriage that can actually benefit your spiritual life, then both parties concerned must abide by the law of God. There's no other way. Even if you were to get all the worldly counselor to help you, it won't work, I tell you. It will not work. Because the worldly counseling does not address the issues of sin. For us, we are different. We are talking about problems arising out from sin. So to resolve this problem, you need to ask for forgiveness. Who can forgive you? God. Only He can forgive. Right? Sometimes when you look at certain issues, people say, look for the counselors, look for psychiatrist or whatever. And we know that this is not a mental problem, not a physical problem. Yeah, it's a issue of sin. You know, sometimes when you harbor sin, sin within you can cause you to suffer a lot of illnesses. Right? Now some we find that many of the problems that we face today actually are sin-related. Now, how can we overcome them, cure ourselves, or to heal from all these illnesses? We need to go deep down to the root cause of the problem, sin. sins are resolved, their relationship with God shall be back to normal. Right? Okay. So, now if you're in a relationship, yeah, if someone and the person blames it on you, how would you feel? You feel okay? You feel good? How would you feel? You feel angry, will you not? Yeah, you will. Okay, now let's come back. So, what happened? And then obviously Eve blame it on the snake, okay? Alright, now, I want to look at verse 14 all the way to verse 19. Now, obviously here we find that they were all cursed. When sin entered into the world, you find that humanity were also cursed. Right? Sin brings about curse. Most crucially, we understand that sin brings about the separation from God. Separation from God. And for that reason, they have to be sent out of the Garden of Eden. Okay? They were cast out. That's why we need to understand, with sin, we cannot be in the presence of God. We cannot. Not possible. Right? Okay, any question? Do you find it hard to resist temptation? Do you find it hard to resist temptation? Do you find it hard to resist temptation? No problem. Temptation is sweep it aside. That's why, to resist temptation, we need to hold on to the Word of God. That is the only way forward. No other way. No other way. That is the only way. Right? Is that clear? Now, class, yeah? You know, when we come to the story of Joseph, I will speak a bit more about that. I think to me now, the greatest challenge, the greatest temptation is BGR. You know what's BGR? Yes, very good, because I told you so. BGR, boy-girl relationship. Is that not true? Is BGR a problem to you? Is it a problem to you? It's not a problem. This class I pretend. Hello, look at me. Look at my face. Look at my face. Actually, I'm okay now. Look at my face. Is BGR a problem to you? I don't understand. Is BGR a problem? No? Okay, no. That's what we said, yeah? Try your best not to hang out with the opposite sex, especially non-believers. Especially non-believers. They don't believe in Christian values and principles. You understand? It's a very important principle to abide by. The core group of your friends should come from the church. You understand what I'm saying? Your best friend should not be people outside. It should be people within the church. If you say, my best friend is that guy, you know, that tall guy, you know, with earrings all over, and even with a nose ring. He said, that's your best friend. And you're not serious about your faith. You see what I'm saying? Yeah? So, your best friend should come from your own brothers and sisters in the church. You should be able to confide your problem in them, not in that guy. You see what I'm saying? Then you will not fall. Okay? Is that clear? Is that clear? So try not to hang out with outsiders, especially of the opposite sex. Is that clear? Right, let's say some prayer. Amen.